Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
I'm Lewis Malone, and I'm here speaking with Craig Brenner, Greg Turner, and David Hummons. And they are from the Commission on the Status of Black Males. And we will be talking today about what the commission does, what's going on for Black History Month, and why in the world do we need a commission on the status of black males? It's kind of a specific group. I think people that have grown up in America understand that black males tend to be a bit of an endangered group, a group that's at risk quite often. But hopefully we'll have some insight and have some great discussion about the great work these gentlemen are doing here in town. So, Craig, I'm going to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. You are from the city of Bloomington.
Yes, I'm employed by the city as the liaison with this group, as well as the staff person for several other commissions that the city has.
Okay. And Greg? You are a member of the commission, and you are, and you have your own insurance agency.
I do, okay. And that's the Greg Turner Agency here in Bloomington.
Okay, and David Hummons from Indiana University, and you have an exceptional title. Do you want to share that with us?
We have long titles. Okay. Now, I'm the director of community and student engagement under the vice president's office of Diversity, Equity, and Multicultural Affairs. I also sit on this commission, and I sit on the Bloomington Martin Luther King Commission. And Greg was being modest. He's actually the chair of the Commission on the Status of Black Men.
Oh, you are the chair of the commission. Oh, well, I do apologize for demoting you in that way. So let's just open up with what is the Commission for the Status on Black Males?
The commission was set up in response to two gentlemen who came to former Mayor Fernandez in about the year 2000. And one of them represented the Indianapolis statewide commission, which is called the Indiana Commission on the Social Status of Black Males. And the other person was a community resident, both of whom asked the mayor to set up a commission in Bloomington because, as you mentioned in your intro, there are a lot of challenges that African-American males face, and they show up statistically, so we can see some of those challenges in education, employment, statistics, things like that. And the mayor, being the wise leader that he was, rather than just say, okay, he turned to an existing commission, which is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday Commission, and he asked that group to pull together a study group. And after about 18 months of meeting, that study group recommended to the Martin Luther King Commission that there was enough work in Bloomington that would parallel the state work and the nationwide effort on behalf of African-American males, that it would be a good idea for the city to set up its own commission. And so that was done in 2001. And I won't monopolize, but I'll just say that there are people who are appointed to serve on the commission by the mayor, by the city council, by the local branch of the NAACP, and by the Human Rights Commission. I believe those are the appointing entities.
Okay. Does anybody have anything they want to add on that, and where this commission came from?
Sure. The group was charged by the ordinance that created it to focus on four areas: education, employment, health, and criminal justice. So those are the four main areas that the group has addressed in the past 10 years.
Okay. All right. And so you talk about the group addressing these issues. How How does the commission actually do that? I mean, a lot of commissions I can think of, I can picture commissions getting together and having meetings and talking about things, but how do we affect change within our community through this commission?
Well, we meet once a month over at City Hall or the Showers Building, and during each meeting, we have an agenda list of items that we may have guest speakers come in that want to present to our commission. In hearing some of the concerns in the community, as a commission, we may decide to develop action committees to address some of the issues, to serve as a catalyst, to promote positive public and private remedies for people in our community, and also to organize and convene community forums to talk about certain issues. And then we're also charged with networking with other commissions, other groups around the state of Indiana. And so, as Craig alluded to earlier, we kind of modeled after the state commission. And I think every year we have an agenda items that we set out to meet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the state commission, so is this the Bloomington Commission, is this a standalone commission, or is this something that really is kind of, you know, filtered into more of the, you know, the state kind of delegates what they want the commissions to do, or is this something that kind of stands on its own and has its own voice, has its own, okay, ability to advocate?
The State Commission on the Social Status of Black Males is sort of an umbrella organization, and there are about, what, 7-8 commissions around the state, and they all operate a little differently. I mean, we have loose guidelines. Ours is very organized in that the city of Bloomington basically has created the Commission on the Status of Black Males by ordinance.
Okay,
so Craig Brenner is the sort of the administrator for the, and provides the staff support for our commission. And he actually also provides the staff support for 3 or 4 other commissions. But Craig, as the administrator, is also responsible for a lot of the logistics and basically a lot of the a lot of the things to do with actually sort of putting things together.
Okay. So that sounds like a big role, Craig.
Well, it is, but it's very successful because of the people that are on the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you can imagine, if somebody has an interest to be on a commission of this type, it's because they have a personal interest and a drive to make things better. So as opposed to a group where somebody might be appointed, you know, for political reasons, but they don't really have their heart into it. So this group is, once they get an idea and a goal, it's hard to stop them. But I would also like to say that the state has certain things that it sort of advocates on behalf of every year. And often we find ourselves in alignment with the state commission, and we'll do things jointly with them. But then other times, we'll be way out ahead of what the state has thought about doing in a certain area. Mm-hmm. And later on, they'll come to us and say, could you give us some of your ideas, because we want to share that with the other commissions around the state.
Okay.
And there has been a couple statewide and even nationwide gatherings in Indianapolis in the past. David was asked to present at one of them because the people up there who organized the conference knew that our commission was doing things the way that they wanted other communities to learn about.
Yeah. So we can be a trendsetter here, where we're pushing forward in ways that, you know, Bloomington has a tendency to do. I feel we are generally on the cutting edge.
Right.
So here we are on it's Black History Month, or it's the eve of Black History Month, and we are. And so I'm sure there are plenty of events that are going on. I'm sure we have a lot going on. When I was looking at your website, I know that you do have a gala at the, oh, this may be dated actually, but
it's coming up.
It's coming up. Okay. So what? When is your gala? I'm sure you have a variety of things going on, but I know you have a gala every year. So what's going on?
Well, the Black History Month Committee, mm-hmm. of the City of Bloomington, has a gala which sort of culminates Black History Month.
Okay.
And within that gala, the Commission on the Status of Black Males presents what we call the Outstanding Black Leaders of Tomorrow Award. We started that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. We had a discussion one day in one of our meetings a while ago where we talked about problems associated with black males and the kind of initiatives we could start to help resolve that, to unleash the talents and the potential of young black males who maybe don't have the right environment and really don't have access to the resources for them to succeed. And we thought about it one day. You know, there are a lot of great things that go on in this community, and there are a number of young black males in this community who really do excel. We never talk about them.
Yes.
And so, hence the formation of the Outstanding Black Male Leaders of Tomorrow Award. And so, like for this year, the nomination forms are out now. They can be found at the City of Bloomington website. For those who want to nominate someone, the forms are there. You can nominate a young black male online. The submission nomination date is February 7th, February 7th, which I think is on.
It's going to be the air date.
On Tuesday, and we used to give one award to an adult. Basically a high school student or a student or just anyone in the community, not to exceed, I think, 30 years in age. We decided to cut that into two awards. So we have one award for a high school age African American male who's demonstrated outstanding leadership, scholarship, and has been personally involved in making tangible, visible, and meeting contributions to the Bloomington community. And then we have another award for an adult African-American male no older than 30 years of age who basically has done the same thing.
Okay.
Because when you start comparing somebody 30 to someone 14, it's like comparing apples and oranges.
Well,
and so we wanted to make it a little more age specific.
Yeah. Well, and you can't. And you can't reward, people doing good work. You want to give out as many of those awards as we possibly can.
We have some outstanding black males in this community that are doing great things.
Mm. Well, and that's great to hear. And it's good that the commission is going out because, when we're talking about the status, we want to talk about what's going well and what might not be going so well. So I think that's a great opportunity in the community for young men to get a little bit of positive feedback. What else is going on this month? Do we have any other events that we have going on this month?
Well, I will add that for the Outstanding Black Male Leadership Award, we're looking for that submission to be submitted by midnight on February 7th.
Okay.
And then the website is www.bloomington.in.gov. And on the left-hand side of the website, you will see commission and boards. That's how you get to our website, okay? The other thing that we have is the Black History Gala is actually set for Friday, February 25th.
I think it's Saturday, isn't it? Isn't that on Saturday?
February 25th?
Let's see here.
We have it listed as Saturday.
Right.
Friday.
What?
The February 25th this year is on a Saturday.
It is.
Okay. It is on a Saturday.
All right. Well, then I stand corrected. We have a typo here. So then Saturday, February 25th is when our Black History Gala is.
Okay.
As well, towards the end of the month, we are in negotiations currently with Big Brothers Big Sister. We're trying to collaborate with them on a reality health fair, and that's a program by which the Big Brothers Big Sister does every year. They invite kids that are part of their program, teenage age, from middle school to high school, and what they do is they bring them in to the meeting site, and it's almost like playing the game of life. So they will give one of the big brothers or big sisters a card of which it has a certain lifestyle that they're living. And then they will move on to the next station. They'll pull a different card, and there may be a change in life. For example, they have to go to college, or they may have a baby. And then it's just adapting to ways or figuring out ways to now change the direction of your life and on the different opportunities. So it's a way of teaching African-American males in the community how to prepare for life, period. So we are still in negotiations with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and that's going to happen towards the end of February as well. And actually, we have it listed as February 27th from 5:30 to 7 at First United Methodist Church.
And you call that okay. So we're talking about the 25th. We have the gala. And the gala, are there tickets involved with that? Do we have to purchase?
Oh, yes, you do.
Okay, and do we, can we
You
get
can a, get them at the Buskirk Chumley ticket office.
Okay, so you can get tickets to the gala at the Buskirk Chumley. Do we know, is that about $40?
Something like that. So, I don't have that information in front of me, but I think it's 40 or 45. Is that
okay? The information I had was 40, but okay. It also had the date as incorrect, so I didn't know if that was going to be accurate or not. But so around $40, and we hope everybody gets out there and check that out. We also, February 7th, this is today, is the deadline to get your nominations in. By midnight, get online, make that happen. If there are people out there that know that you think need to be acknowledged by the community, get online. Can you give me that website one more time, Greg? Do you have that?
www.bloomington.in.gov.
Okay.
/CSBM.
/CSBM.
Right.
And then there you can put your nominations in, make sure, and they can be they can get that award on the 25th, hopefully. And then on the 27th, you're partnering with the Big Brothers Big Sisters with the Reality Fair. Is that what you had mentioned?
Yes.
And that is another opportunity to get out, have kids, have your black males get out and realize what life might actually be like. I think that's hard for any young person to know, but it's something that black males, as we know, as we've talked about in the community, as we know, they have struggles. There are struggles going on with this demographic, and I'd like to talk about that here in a little bit. But you're listening to Interchange on WFHB. We'll be right back.
We will return in a moment to Interchange, WFHB's longest-running public affairs show. Support for WFHB comes from Cafe Django on Grant Street, across from the Monroe County Library, offering an eclectic menu of international cuisine, including vegan options for lunch and dinner, with breakfast on weekends. Cafe Django has a dedicated parking lot behind the cafe. More information at cafedejango.us. We return now as host Lewis Malone speaks with the chair of the Commission on the Status of Black Males, Greg Turner, commission member David Hummins, and the City of Bloomington's Craig Brenner about the events the commission has planned for Black History Month and a preview of the commission's upcoming projects. For Interchange on WFHB. Thank you.
Welcome back to Interchange. I'm Lewis Malone. I'm here with Craig Brenner from the city of Bloomington, Greg Turner from his own insurance agency, and David Hummons from Indiana University. We just finished talking about the gala that's coming up this month, as well as the reality fair that's going to be going on. And with the reality fair, the commission has partnered with Big Brothers and Big Sisters to put that on. I understand that there's also some mentoring opportunities that you're putting together, as well as with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Would you like to speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, one of the things that we've been discussing with the commission is what could we do long term to help out a group of young black males? And obviously we talked about mentoring. Now, there are many mentoring programs that go on, even in our community. But what we were thinking about is, could we start a very small, protracted mentoring program? In other words, could we take identify 5 to 7 young black males, preferably middle school age, that we could find 5 to 7 volunteers, you know, probably black males in the community, to mentor over a long period of time. And so what we came up with was a program, and we've talked to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, because obviously that's the network and the fabric we want to go through since they're established, and to get commitment from some black males in the community to mentor these young men over a 2-year period of time. And I'm going to let the chairman of the commission talk about that, because there's a lot more detail to this. But this is something that we're doing now.
Well, that sounds great. Greg?
The partnership that we have with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, as David alluded to, was to identify the 5 or 7 mentors in the community. And I think our goal was to start out small and learn from the experiences over that 2-year period, and then branch from there. We also had in mind to meet with the mentors allow them to share some mentoring experiences and with hopes that it helps us develop a best practice. We decided to go with Big Brothers, Big Sisters because they are in the community, and they are already positioned to mentor, to pre-screen the mentors, as well as they're a pretty well-known organization in the community. And so we decided to partner with them to accomplish those goals as well. We want to stay engaged with the mentors as well as the mentees through that experience by designing activities, field trips, such as maybe a visit to IU athletic event, in order to establish a good relationship with the kids in the program. And you know, our bottom line goal is to see if that impacts their life. Does it add value to their life in the end of the program? So that's our goal. We had our first call out meeting on November 30th. During that call out, we had great speakers. One of our speakers was a well-known minister here in the community, Dennis LaFoon. He did a great job. Bev Smith, who is part of MCCSC, and she's also a member of our commission, also spoke about her experiences being in the Brothers Big Sisters program. So in all, we had 20 people sign up that had interest, 20 people sign up that had interest. And out of the 20, so far, we've identified the 5 or 7. So here in the next month or so, we're going to, and actually February 27th, the event that we're going to have with the reality affair is going to actually be one event where the 5 people that we identified will show up with their match. Mm-hmm. And that'll give us an opportunity to meet the people involved in our partnership. So,
well, that sounds great. How are you identifying the youth? The kids, the males that are going to be involved with the men. How did you identify those mentees?
We relied on Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Okay.
They have a match specialist.
Okay.
And one of the key part of our relationship or our partnership was we were providing the mentors.
Okay.
And then they were providing the match.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. I mean, I actually had one of my... I was a home-based case manager and life coach locally here.
Okay.
And so mentoring can be an incredible opportunity, but it is so important to find that right match, to find that right connection, or else it can be very difficult. You want it to be as productive a relationship as possible.
Right.
So that sounds great. That sounds unbelievable. And that's something that's ongoing. And is this something we're hoping to expand or have it be an annual thing? Or is it potentially just something right now that we have the five, we're going to see how it goes kind of on a trial basis?
Well, we wanted to start out small and then revisit at the end of the program to see if we can take on a little bit larger a group. So, okay. Our goal is start small and then grow up from there.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful. So, well, and I know you do have to run, so I don't want to keep you for too long. If you do have to get out of here, I appreciate you coming in.
Oh,
tonight.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's no problem at all. So we were just talking about mentoring opportunities in the community, mm-hmm. and how important that can be to build those connections. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to, and hopefully we can talk about this a little bit, understand why those connections might not be there. What is it specifically with black males as much that makes it, you know, us need to have a commission? What are the demographics? What do they show that makes us say, you know, this is a really troubled group that really we really need to, you know, to really reach out with a commission from the city of Bloomington?
Well, you know, we can talk about theories as to why we're where we are. Okay? Mm-hmm. Probably social economics have a lot to do with it. Broken homes probably have a lot to do with it, although across demographics there are a number of people who come from broken homes.
Absolutely.
In this community. But I think poverty, that whole notion of poverty is out there. As you know, the statistics show that there are probably more black males in prison than there are in college. You've heard those stories.
Yes, I have.
In a place like IU, for example, a predominantly white university, large university, there's probably two black women to every black male in college. And I think on a graduate level, perhaps it's even more skewed than that. And so obviously we want to see a more level playing field here. The mentoring program, we think, is interesting in the sense that mentoring can be hard work. And so the reason that we're starting with relatively small is we want committed black males who are going to go into the schools once a week, meet for an hour with their mentee, you know, try to find out what's going on, good and bad, and be able to point them in directions to go for resources to perhaps help them out, provide them with confidence. But we also want to have some enrichment programs, like Greg indicated earlier, that perhaps that we will have group events where we'll go to an IU basketball or football game or our other perhaps more educational experiences, or maybe the mentor might want to share some things with the student himself, you know, one-on-one outside of the context of the school. And we feel that a two-year period, I mean, when you're growing up in what you might call a whole household, there's somebody around every day, you know, mentoring you and all that. And so we're not gonna be around every day, but we want to do this in a more intense and a more protracted way. And a number of these kids obviously are going to come from single parent families. And so we want to be able to assist in whatever way that we can.
Well, that sounds fantastic. But you're listening to Interchange on WFHB. We'll be right back.
We will return in a moment to Interchange on WFHB. There are only 23 days left to record your story for the Bloomington Storytelling Project's 29 Days of Stories. Tell us your favorite winter story, a story from your childhood, or any other true story from your life. Email storytelling@wfhb.org to set up a recording, and you could win a prize basket with treats from local businesses. That's WFHB's Story Drive. For more information, email storytelling@wfhb.org. We return now as host Lewis Malone speaks with the chair of the Commission on the Status of Black Males, Greg Turner, Commission member David Hummins, and City of Bloomington's Craig Brenner about the events the Commission has planned for Black History Month and a preview of the Commission's upcoming projects. for Interchange on WFHB.
The idea of an organized mentoring program really gives us the opportunity to talk about the larger issues, to really look at who's going into these homes, who's talking, what kind of mentor education is taking place. Like, are these just prominent people in the community?
First of all, Big Brothers Big Sisters does have a training regimen and a training program. One of the things that we're going to do is... the mentors are going to do is to get together periodically to share best practices from other people who have done these kind of things, from the situations that have come up with us. Mm-hmm. You know, we may even invite in professionals to talk about better ways for mentoring. So there's going to be education on both ends.
Okay.
And but what we want to show is we want to show that this is hard work. And I'll tell you how this came about. A couple years ago, I was at... Ivy Tech, when a group of black males got together from churches to talk about problems associated with black males, and everybody was talking about what can we do. You know, well, we can sit around and we can rap and talk and intellectualize about problems, but what can we do specifically? Hence the birth of something small, a small mentoring program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to sort of help the kids along. As you know, probably everyone in this society who's made it, okay, be they black, white, Hispanic, or whatever, in addition to their parents maybe, they had someone else or some others that mentored them along the way. Most people didn't make it on their own. They're standing on the shoulders of others. And I think what we want to be is those shoulders.
Well, and that's appreciated, I'm sure, but hopefully it will be. I mean, but I think from the community at large, it's appreciated because people look out and they recognize. I mean, there's a Black History Month, mm-hmm. It's the shortest month of the year. We talk mm-hmm. about what's going on. Well, and that's a positive thing. But and we talk about African Americans on that. You know, we talk about Rosa. We talk about Mr. King, Dr. King, Martin Luther King. We talk about Malcolm X. We talk about W.E.B. Du Bois. We talk about a few, mm-hmm. and then the month passes. And so it's good to get out and talk about what are we doing in the community to raise up these people that have been struggling for some time.
Craig has been with the commission all the way, so you might want to talk about some of the initiatives he's been involved in,
okay.
and some of the problems that the commission has encountered in tackling some of these problems over the years.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the history of the commission and understanding where have you been, what have you done, where are we going here in the future, here in a little bit.
Well, the mentoring program, I want to emphasize that Big Brothers and Big Sisters has two components to their normal, well, at least two. The main one is the community Big Brothers and Big Sisters. This program that we're doing is the in-school matches. So, and even though we have probably identified the initial group of mentors, that doesn't mean that anybody else cannot come forward at this point and sign up, because we're looking for more, and so is Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So, I hope nobody will interpret those comments as it's already full for this first group, because it's not. It's going to continue. And they've already said that there are many more matches among Caucasian males and females and their little brothers and sisters than there are among African-American males that are looking for African-American male mentors. There's a big disparity there. So that's one of the reasons why we started this. And the reason, and another reason, aside from what David said about the meeting at Ivy Tech, one of the earliest things that the commission did was it worked with the Monroe County Community School Corporation to get some statistics from the school corporation that showed the rates of suspensions and expulsions, and to compare the black boys and girls with non-black boys and girls, and were they suspended or expelled at the same or at a different rate for the same offenses. And it turned out that they were suspended and expelled at a greater rate. And so that pointed out a couple things to everybody who was involved in the commission. One, it wasn't fair, just, you know, statistically. And two, there could be some things going on in the schools that the school needs to address on its end, meaning the administration of their policies, revisiting the policies, and the training of teachers in cultural issues. And so we've been trusting that the schools are addressing those every step of the way. They've had three different school superintendents since that initial study was done by the commission of their statistics. Now we're working with Superintendent DeMuth, and she's apparently making good progress toward addressing that aspect of it. In other words, what are the schools going to do about making sure that teachers treat everyone fairly? But on our end, the commission's end, we felt that we as adults can't just go into the schools and start teaching, but we can mentor. And so that's where that fits into the general field of not only personal values and social things, but education, the education of young students in the schools. So, and in the area of criminal justice, in answer to your question, there was a study done that began even before the creation of the commission, I believe. I think it was called the Criminal Justice Task Force Study. I'm not sure if that's the exact title
criminal
of it, but
Criminal Justice Task Force Report.
Right, okay. And it was organized by the former Safe and Civil Director of the city, as well as some people in the criminal justice system, some private attorneys, the prosecutor's office was represented, some people from the jail. And they just took a look at what is it about the criminal justice system that has impacts on the African-American community and on all segments of our society. And they came up with some recommendations for what could make the application of criminal justice more equitable. And a person who was involved in that study was the attorney Guy Loftman. We invited him to come to both our forum that we had on that issue, as well as some meetings of the commission. And the commission endorsed seven of the recommendations that were put forth by that group. I don't have the list of them in front of me, but some of them are still being worked on. For example, when somebody gets pulled over by the police, it seems like it would be a good idea for everybody and protection for everybody if the entire interaction is videotaped. That protects the person who's being arrested or stopped. It protects the police in case, you know, something happens. And it's just a better thing to do, to have the whole thing on tape. Yeah. That's just one of the seven. And the police, all the agencies have been trying to get good up-to-date video equipment in all of their vehicles because they agree that that's a good thing to do also. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the jail itself, we've had people that have come to the commission meeting and point out that the percentage of African Americans in the Monroe County jail is a lot higher than the population. And there isn't as much reformative work done in the jails as should be done. And so what can the commission do to help bring about a reduction in recidivism? And those are the kind of things that the commission is still addressing in its meetings and probably will continue to address, because there's still some disparities there. Not so much on the part of what the police are doing, but just the way the whole system works, mm-hmm. from requiring bail, from requiring people to come out for pre-trial hearings. And if a person just doesn't happen to get the notification that they're there in the past, sometimes a person would be put on a list to be arrested because they didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And it was that fair because they couldn't hire somebody to represent them in court. So, you know, we need to address those things too, because those are ongoing. In the area of employment, the commission had at least one town hall meeting at Second Baptist Church a while back and invited representatives of some of the largest employers in the community, some of the manufacturing organizations were represented, the union, some of the unions were represented, the city employment person, and also the MCCSC director of personnel was there. And they all had a chance to talk about what they're doing to recruit and hire teachers of color or employees of color. And a lot of times they say the pool of applicants isn't as great as it is in larger metropolitan areas. And so we suggest, well, why don't you advertise and try and bring some other people? Then it depends on what the climate of the community is. Is somebody going to want to be uprooted from a place that they like, Chicago or Indianapolis, to move to Bloomington? So that's where the social aspect comes in. And even though social isn't one of the five, one of the things that this commission addresses, because when the city created it, it decided, you know, specifically to not include the word social in its name, even though the state commission is the Indiana Commission on the Social Status of Black Males. They felt that was, the city felt it was too nebulous a term, and let's not address that. But that's something that underlies all these things, education, health, criminal justice. And I'll say one more thing because I'm talking a lot. We've also been involved in some barbershop health fairs recently in partnership with the Martin Luther King Commission and with a local fraternity that's done a great job. And one of the Martin Luther King grants was to help fund the supplies that were used on January 21st of this year at three different African-American barbershops. And there's a nationwide effort to have the same type of health screenings on April 28th of this year, and our commission is involved in conference calls on that issue. David's been involved in all of them, both on the state level and the national level. So we're sort of leading the way on that because we've already done it and we know how it's supposed to be done, and we're there to offer advice as well as to participate.
We will return in a moment to Interchange on WFHB. Calling all Firehouse fans. It's time for you to bark back. As part of our strategic planning process currently underway, WFHB has launched a public survey to get your input on how we can serve you better. Go online to WFHB.org to take a quick anonymous survey to tell us how we're doing. Your opinion matters, so make your voice heard. Bark back at www.wfhb.org. We return now to the conclusion of the interview with host Lewis Malone and guest Greg Turner, the chair of the Commission on the Status of Black Males, commission member David Hummins, and the City of Bloomington's Craig Brenner, as the discussion turns to the fair treatment of black male youth in schools for Interchange on WFHB.
Welcome back to Interchange. I'm Lewis Malone. I'm here with Craig Brenner from the City of Bloomington, Greg Turner, and David Hummins from Indiana University. And so when you talk about, and I heard you said we're addressing these a lot, and so when you're addressing them, is it primarily about doing the research to come up with ideas to bring back to the community to institute? Is that largely what we're doing, or when we're saying it's addressed?
I might simply say, let me give you a few examples.
That's fine, perfect.
The Criminal Justice Task Force report, which was actually done before I came on the commission a number of years ago, got a lot of lawyers, judges, people even tangentially involved with the criminal justice system in the mm-hmm. city, social workers, and they got together to identify disparities and identify problems. They collected a lot of data. Mm-hmm. They didn't just sit around and intellectualize. They collected data on all these things. And then from there is where they pointed out disparities or perhaps areas that weren't disparities, mm-hmm. to try to identify the problems. Mm-hmm. School system initiative that we've been involved with and what Craig was talking about in terms of the equitable administration of student discipline, that was part of it in the sense that it was felt that underrepresented students in the school system were not really being represented in an equitable way. A lot of data was done on disparities in terms of student discipline, and that data showed that in fact there were disparities. Mm-hmm. The question is, what are the causes? How do we resolve those problems and all that? So there's been a lot of sort of a scientific data gathering approach to these different types of things. The health disparities issue, we know through data both locally, statewide, and nationally that underrepresented groups, or more specifically black people, tend to have higher incidences of hypertension, diabetes, and all, and associated other diseases. So on April the 28th, there's going to be, I think it's April 28th.
Yes.
There's going to be a national initiative amongst all the National Commission on the Status of Black Males, through the State Commission and local commissions from around the country. On that day, there are going to be barbershop health screenings all over the United States. Indianapolis is going to have a number, Muncie, Gary. Here in Bloomington, we may go to either one or two barbershops. And all of them are going to do at least two things. One is glucose screenings or blood sugar screenings and hypertension. Some may do more, but those are the base requirements because we know those are two areas that we really need to tackle. Now, we've done health screenings here in the past, as was talked about earlier in this program. The commission partnered with Omega Psi Phi fraternity, who put on health screenings just a couple of weeks ago in three barbershops here in Bloomington. We're going to be a part of the national effort, meaning the Commission on the Status of Black Males, and we're going to do either one or two barbershops. And there'll be requirements about data and how data is handled and confidentiality and HIPAA laws and all that other stuff. Okay? Mm-hmm. But so these are some, you know, those are some of the things that we could do. The goal in the school system initiative was simply a lot of things. The main initiative is how do you enhance academic achievement for black males or by association underrepresented groups. But, you know, but academic achievement was it. So if equitable administration of student discipline helps, that's fine. If intense reading programs helps, that's fine, whatever it takes. But we want to tackle these disparities so that the resources are available for young black males, in this case, to achieve. And that's what it's about. The mentoring programs are about how do we create the atmosphere, how do we create the values, how do we show that we care, how do we show love so to help students along the way, our young black males achieve.
Well, that sounds like unbelievably valuable work. It's great work that's being done. I'm so happy to live in a town where we have a commission that's doing these things. I know there's a statewide commission, you know, that is on the social status of black males. But yes, sir.
The other thing is, as we tackle these problems, or just problems more specific or unique to black males, one of the things our commission wants to do and does and will do increasingly more is collaborate. We don't want to stand out on an island. We want to collaborate. For example, I'm involved in some discussions through this Bloomington Martin Luther King Commission and other mm-hmm. people in the community to try to tackle this whole notion of employment. Obviously, unemployment's a problem nationally, it's a problem statewide, but more specifically, it's a problem locally. And so a group of religious leaders, people from Indiana University, maybe some of the commissions in town, former politicians are meeting now to talk about ways that we can explore employment opportunities for people in this community who aren't employed or underemployed. So we're talking about inviting small businesses in to talk about what are they doing in terms of startups or innovative things they're doing to create employment opportunities, not just for the highly skilled, but for those who perhaps aren't that skilled, and to provide resources for employment. You know, and so we're doing this in a very open way. You know, we're looking for ideas, we're looking for innovators, and you will see some promotions coming later down the line about how we're going to tackle this whole notion of employment in our community.
Well, and I think every community would be happy to have a commission working on that for them. And so
there will be collaboration there. There will be not only the
Bloomington Martin Luther King Commission, but the Commission on the Stats of Black Males is going to be asked to collaborate, and then other people in the community, because it's a community problem.
Oh, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Is there anything you'd like to say to add in as we begin to wrap the show up, Craig? Is there any takeaways you want to reintroduce yourself?
Well, I just want to thank WFHB and specifically you and Interchange for asking that we be here today to talk about these issues. Because one of the main problems that I face as the liaison with this and other groups is we know that our activities are important. We don't always find that all the media feel the same way, because most times media, you know, they gravitate towards big headlines, and the work that we're doing is sort of under the radar mm-hmm. with this commission. I mean, you know, some people might say, so what? There's a mentoring program. Big Brothers has been doing it for years. Yeah, but they haven't been partnering with this commission and targeting a specific group yes. and providing mentors that need, for the kids that need mentors. So that's why it's important, and we really appreciate you asking us to be on.
Well, I want to thank you for being on, because as a black male in the community, it's good to know what's going on to help the people that are coming up. It's good to know that I live in a city that cares enough about the black about everybody, that we're trying to make sure no one gets left behind. Because it's really easy to do at a time like this, and when the economy is the way it is, everybody needs to step up, especially those that generally aren't succeeding as much as everybody else.
Instead of just identifying the problems, my question is, what can we do?
Absolutely.
And you know, and then we try to come up with programs and initiatives to help there. We can all talk about problems, analyze problems, philosophize about problems, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, ultimately, what can we do? What can we do in our community?
And that's what the Commission on the Stats of Black Males is here for. I am Lewis Malone for Interchange, and I'm here with David Hummons of Indiana University and Craig Brenner of the City of Bloomington. We are talking about the Commission on the Status of Black Males. I want to thank both of you for being here with me today. I do want to make a point to point out February 25th, the gala. Tickets are available. At the gala, there will be an award given out, and there'll be two awards given out. Do you want to give me the exact title of those again? I don't have it in front of me.
They're simply called the Outstanding Black Male Leaders of Tomorrow Awards.
And there's an award for a high school student or for someone, for a young adult under the age of 30. So those nominations are due tonight. They're due tonight by midnight. If you want to get online,
It's www.bloomington.in.gov/CSBM.
Okay, www.bloomington.gov, .in.gov/CSBM.
And if you can't keep up with that, just go to the City of Bloomington website, and I'm sure that if you go to the Commission of Black Males drill down, that ultimately you'll find awards.
Yeah. So that's tonight. Get that in by tonight for the gala on the 25th. Tickets are available at the Buskirk Chumley box office. February 27th, the Reality Fair. Mm-hmm. And then on April 28th, we're going to have a health fair.
And there'll be information put out about all those particular programs.
Yes. Well, thank you both for being here with me tonight.
And, thank you very much.
Have a wonderful evening out there. Stay tuned for Stardust with Tillman.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers working in the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Interchange fosters unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Comments, suggestions, and program ideas may be sent directly to the Interchange staff.
The email address is news@wfhb.org.
That address once again is news@wfhb.org.